Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life, the largest organization in the church dealing exclusively with one goal, ending abortion. We're glad you're part of this movement. So many of you do so many things in the pro-life movement, and we're glad that you do at least some of those things with us, because we have a lot going on that we want you to be involved in, including these daily broadcasts and including spreading these daily broadcasts to others. Remember, you can reach people that we can't, but together we can reach a whole lot of them. Now, my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day, is our source of our opening prayer. And then I want to talk to you about a whole range of activities of showing people what abortion looks like, especially as a preparation for voting in this year's elections. We'll get to that in a moment. But this devotional for today, the 6th of July, is from actually John Paul II's words in the Gospel of Life, words addressed to those who have had abortions. He writes, "With firm trust, you should entrust your child to the Father and to his mercy." Reflection: baptism is the ordinary way to be born into God's grace. But for those killed without baptism, we can still have sure hope. St. Paul wrote that God wants all to be saved. Let us entrust these children to the Lord, who does not forget anyone that he creates, even when we do. Let us pray. Father, to you we commend the souls of all the children killed by abortion. Bring them to heaven and bring us your comfort. Amen. Pro-Life Reflections for Everyday.com is where you can get this book. And you know, I have as one of my roles, as one of my titles, Pastoral Director of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries throughout the world, and also of the Silent No More campaign around the world. And we minister to those who have had abortions. I've ministered to people who have had as many as 25 abortions. And they can change, and they can find peace, and they can repent, and they can reestablish that bond of love with the children they rejected. And we are here for them. We are here for you, any of you who have been wounded by this terrible, devastating violence of abortion. The mission of healing continues. Now, you know how many people came to repent of their abortion? They saw it. Because one of the lies we tell ourselves is that it really isn't violent, or that it really isn't a baby, or at least at that stage. And so we fool ourselves into thinking abortion is some kind of an eraser or a magic wand. You know, you write something on a paper, you realize you made a mistake, you go back and you erase it. Remember the whiteout? This is not as common these days, but the whiteout, you know, you put it on the paper and no harm done, right? Everything goes back to the way it was before. Abortion is not an eraser. It's not a magic wand. It's not magic. Just make the clock go back. You can't make the clock go back. Once you're pregnant, you're a mother, period, forever. Either your child is living or your child is dead, but you're still a mother. Abortion doesn't turn back the clock. Abortion doesn't erase a mistake. Abortion isn't a magic wand. It's an act of violence that just as surely as it destroys that baby, it destroys the mother too. And the father and the whole family and all of us around. So we get this idea in our head, or it's actually multiple ideas layered one upon the other, that it's really no big deal. Well, you can contradict that by arguments, and we have a lot of arguments that contradict the idea that it's no big deal. But the other way you come against that lie is by looking at what an abortion is. The pictures, the images. And I want to give you a website. And I want to show you tonight, we're going to actually have a series of programs where we speak about this, but I want to show you tonight some of the impact that these photos have on people. But here's the website, lookatabortion.org. We set up that website. It's a large gallery of images of the bodies of aborted babies. Lookatabortion.org. Now, we're involved in every facet of pro-life work and have been for 30 years, or actually more than 30. I've been doing it full-time for 30 years. But the pro-life movement has been a big part of my life since 1976. Been involved in all facets of pro-life work. And I can tell you, there is no single activity that gets more of a reaction. And I'm not just talking about a negative reaction. I'm talking about a reaction that people open their eyes and they look and they respond and they say something and they change. Nothing gets more of a reaction than when you show people what an abortion is. Let them see the violence that is done to the baby. Well, if you followed my work, you heard me speak about this all the time, and I'm well known for a quote that I repeat, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. And we can apply that to the whole world. The world will not reject abortion unless the world sees abortion. Because the word has practically lost all its meaning. We sugarcoat it. We tell ourselves lies. We pretend that it's really not violence. But the pictures cut through all that. Just like they did in the civil rights movement. You know, we have Alveda King as part of our team here at Priests for Life. And we did an interview, we had a discussion right here on this set with Alveda not too long ago, in which we discussed how the civil rights movement was, like other social reform movements in history, dedicated to unmasking the violence, showing the victim. How did they do that? Well, they brought the cameras to the various demonstrations, and we know how the peaceful, prayerful demonstrators in the civil rights movement were mistreated. Billy clubs and dogs and water hoses turned on them with a force so strong that the water was stripping the bark off the trees. And when people saw how these peaceful protesters were being treated, they said, oh, something is wrong here. Something is wrong. And when Emmett Till, the young teenage black boy, was brutally murdered because of this segregationist evil, the funeral at the wake, the mother of Emmett Till insisted that it be an open casket, despite the horribly disturbing, ugly image there of that boy and how he was mangled. But she said, open casket, because I want the world to see what they did to my boy. Show the violence of segregation, of discrimination, of prejudice, of racism, of hatred. And that picture awakened the consciences of a lot of people. It was published, and it awakened the consciences of a lot of people and got them involved in the civil rights movement. Just as Louis Hine, back at the turn of the century, was going into factories and mines. This was the child labor dispute, the early 1900s, and he would go into those factories and mines with a camera to document what was happening to the children who were under hard labor in these places. It awoke the consciences of many people. Those photographs, that display, still available in the Library of Congress, and Historians wrote that nothing turned the tide more in the effort to reform child labor laws than the pictures of what was happening to the children. What do we do when we want to convince our young people not to drive drunk? You ever see the horrifying displays of violence and the mangled cars and the results of drunk driving? Here's what happens when you drive drunk. We show them the violence. What about the Holocaust? What about Schindler's List? Why did the movie Schindler's List draw from some quarters so much objection, and yet there were so many people, even in the what some might call the liberal press, that defended this movie showing this utter violence and horrific imagery from the Holocaust? Why? Because we never want it to happen again. We have to show the inhumanity. We have to show the victims. Otherwise, if the victims remain invisible and the violence remains hidden, how will the proper indignation arise from our human instincts of the preservation of our species? How will it arise strong enough so that we can do something to put it to an end? You've got to see the violence that you want to end. You've got to look at the victims that you want to protect. Otherwise, it's just a matter of words, and people get tired of hearing the slogans and the abstract arguments. Do you ever get in the mail those appeals from organizations that help the starving poor? We all know conceptually poverty, starvation is a problem, famine in various parts of the world, children that don't have enough to eat. It's a clear enough idea. But what gets you to write the check? See those envelopes that come in the mail and the wide eyes of a child, emaciated, looking up at you and holding his or her hands or holding an empty bowl and saying, "Help me, give me some food." We connect with the humanity. It's not just a concept. It's the face. It's the eyes. It's the immediate recognition of another human being. So we hold up a picture of an aborted baby, a decapitated child, a head severed from the rest of the body, or the eyes of an unborn child. You see the violence done to the baby, the violence done to the body. I remember Jean Garten founded Lutherans for Life, passed away some years ago, but I was privileged to get to know her over the years. She was a great pro-life educator, and she wrote a book many years ago called Who Broke the Baby? It was the question of a little child in her family, and she was doing some pro-life work, and she had a picture there in her office of an aborted baby, and the little child came in and looked at the picture, turned to Jean and said, "Who broke the baby?" How many times I've stood on demonstrations holding these signs of aborted children, and you hear these stories all throughout our movement. Talk to the people who actually use them. Don't just think about this in the abstract. Talk to the people who actually use these signs and these images. And all of us have had the experience. We're holding up these signs peacefully in public. People come up to us and like their mouths hang open and their eyes open wide. Sometimes the tears begin to flow immediately. Or they put their hand over their mouth and they shake their head. And they say, "How can we be doing this? How can we be allowing this? Oh my gosh, I didn't know it was so bad." I've stood in front of abortion facilities with these signs, showing the broken babies, People who had appointments in those facilities have stopped in their tracks, looking at those images and saying, I can't do that to my baby. It works, my friends. Showing the pictures of aborted babies works. Now, look at abortion.org. We'll show you a lot of these galleries of pictures. And we also have some of the messages that we get, lots of messages, some of the messages that we get of the people responding to this. And I want to share with you some of the reaction here. And then I want to tell you about a project related to this year's elections that maybe some of you can even help with. There are three categories here of the kind of feedback we get about these images. One is people who are converted from a pro-choice position to a pro-life position. Second category is people who are pro-life already, but are spurred on to a deeper level of commitment to defend these babies and to stop the horror of abortion. And the third category is people who are pregnant and see these pictures and actually end up saving their baby from abortion. Let me just read a few of these quotes from each of these categories. These are from email messages that we've received from people who have gone to this website, lookataabortion.org, and have seen the pictures. I have been a pro-abortion Catholic. After seeing the pictures of what it exactly was, I nearly cried, thinking I supported this awful murder. I asked Jesus, my Christ, to forgive my past way of thinking. I finally get it. This is pure murder. That's one quote. Here's another. Hello, I am a 16-year-old female, and I just finished looking at the pictures on your site and reading what actually happens in an abortion. Up until 5 minutes ago, I was extremely pro-choice. I thought things like, let women make their own decisions about their own bodies and things along those lines. But because of your site, I realized that abortion is not a choice about a woman's body. It is the life of a baby. I really don't know. Within 3 minutes of viewing your website, my face was covered in tears. Those pictures just really hurt to look at. But I thank you so much for your wonderful website. I cannot express how grateful I am that you have shown me the truth about abortion. Look at abortion.org. I mean, person after person after person. Listen to this one. Oh my gosh, I just read your entire webpage. Oh my gosh is all I can really say out loud. You need to get this message through to as many people as you possibly can. I've seen articles and I've read them about abortion, but I still feel like it was the woman's decision to decide whether or not she wanted to give birth, but my mind was changed today because of your website. I can't tell you how much you touched me and turned me around in a full circle. Thank you. You see, some people think, oh, well, people already know it's a baby. Don't have to show them the pictures. Did these people already know it was a baby? And if they did, was that enough? Obviously not. They were completely pro-choice until they saw the pictures of what abortion does to a baby. So these are samples of, that we've long ago lost count of how many of these messages we've gotten. People who change from a pro-choice to a pro-life position. Now, then you have the people who are already pro-life, but who were kind of silently pro-life or weren't really ready to make some sacrifices to defend the babies or to get very much involved. And let's listen to what they have to say. Listen to this person. Let me state, first of all, that I am rarely, if ever, speechless. We all know people like that. I am very outspoken and I speak what I feel. The abortion images are jolting and will haunt me for the rest of my life. What kind of species are we that we would allow this horrific act to become acceptable practice? Now listen to this. Here's the crux of the matter. I always knew abortion was an unpleasant but unseen part of our world, yet I was silent all these years. My silence was in essence giving my acceptance. I promise you this, I will never be silent about this matter again. Here is another one. I have always been against abortion, but seeing the graphics not only enrages me, it also awoke the silent big dog inside me. I will no longer be silenced either by politicians, feminists, pro-murder organizations like Planned Parenthood, ACLU, or any other group. I believe in peace, as Jesus has called us. But thank you, Priests for Life, you have now given me a purpose to serve God. And on again, we get these emails, these messages from people who were pro-life already. But notice what she says here. See, because it's not just a matter of knowing. Oh, well, we know abortion takes the life of a baby. Well, you know what? There's different levels of knowing, because we also know that poverty and starvation kill children. But it's when you see the eyes of that starving, emaciated child on that envelope from the group that helps the poor, then that you're moved to pity. It's on the emotional level. And look at what this person said. I was enraged. Well, sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes people don't want to show these pictures because we're afraid of making people angry. But whoever said that's a bad thing? We have to get angry for the right reasons. Anger is one of the passions. I mean, God made us this way for a reason. Anger is energy. It's neither good nor bad. It depends what we're angry at and then what we do with it. Yes, we if we're not getting angry at the killing of babies, what is anger for? It doesn't mean that we go do bad things. It means that we're awakened now with a new energy to do good things, to end this evil. You don't think Martin Luther King Jr. was angry at segregation? And those pro-equality, pro-freedom, civil rights marchers weren't angry at the evil that they were fighting? You think people weren't angry when they saw the diagrams? That those who worked to end the slave trade in Britain were making, while William Wilberforce was speaking eloquently in the Parliament, trying to bring an end to the slave trade. Do you know what the activists were doing? They were drawing pictures of how the slaves were packed like sardines into these ships and the deplorable conditions. They were posting those pictures all around town. And then if you saw the movie Amazing Grace, William Wilberforce, and seated with a group of influential people, decides to drop the chains all right on the dinner table. Say, here's what we're talking about. Here's the fetters and the chains in which we are putting these fellow human beings, treating them like animals, worse than animals. We've got to see. We're human beings. We've got to see. We're not angels that are just pure intellect. We have emotions, and we've got to engage those emotions as we fight these evils in the world. So, testimonies from people who changed from pro-choice to pro-life when they saw the pictures. Testimonies of those who were pro-life but now became activated. And then a third group, those who were actually pregnant and decided not to have an abortion. Why? Because they saw the violence. Listen to this testimony. I just want to say that your site has turned my thinking around. I wanted an abortion because I already have 4 children and it will be very hard to have another. But after I saw the pictures, there is no way, all in caps, no way I could do this to my baby. Thank you so very much for caring about these babies, because if it wasn't for you or your site, I'd probably be getting an abortion this week. Another one. I am the mother of 2 beautiful children, both of whom were unplanned and came at the wrong time. And when I found out I was pregnant for the second time, I was so upset, I even thought about abortion. Someone dear to me showed me your website, and I cried for an hour. To this day, I still get tearful when I look at my four-month-old son. I almost made the worst decision of my life. I wish everyone could see these pictures and hopefully change lives. And then another, today I saw the pictures of the aborted fetuses. I was appalled and disgusted. I'm 8 weeks pregnant and thought about having an abortion, but not anymore. I thought it would be tissue, but I can clearly see a small human being. Could not consider killing my baby. I visited your website. I was physically sick, but now when I see these images, it makes me hug my eight-month-old precious baby boy a little harder. Please find my attached photo of my son, who without you would not be here. And some people say to me, you should never show the pictures. You want to tell that little boy that? Or all the other little boys and girls that were saved because of the pictures? Friends, there's a lot of different methods, tools, tactics, arguments, images that save lives. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's a sermon. Sometimes it's a bumper sticker. What makes a person decide against abortion? What makes a person change from pro-choice to pro-life? There's an entire beautiful kaleidoscope of things. Once I was told by a woman in church when I was giving one of my countless pro-life homilies across the country, I had given the example of how here in Florida we see signs on the beach that say, do not touch the sea turtles or their eggs. They are protected by local, state, and federal law. And I said in the sermon, well, if we don't have the right to choose to smash the egg of a sea turtle, why do we have the right to choose to smash a baby? And she comes out of church and she says, you know, when I came in here today, I was completely pro-abortion, but you've changed my mind. I've made a 180-degree turn today, and it was because of the sea turtles. So what changes a person's mind, we don't know. Everybody's different. And that's why we need a wide variety of tactics and tools. There's no one-size-fits-all in this movement or in any movement for that matter. There's no magic wand. There's no silver bullet. There's no one thing. It's many things reaching many people, and none of us should ever despise any of the tools that are used. So it's wrong if people are going to start saying, oh, well, you should never do this, you should never do that. Don't tell us we should never do this. Not only do we have the concrete evidence that it works, and I'm just hardly scratching the surface of the kind of evidence that we have, but friends, there's another thought we have to think about this. And you know, I serve as, besides being director of Priests for Life, I serve on many boards of many different pro-life organizations. And one of them is the Center for Bioethical Reform, led by my friend Greg Cunningham. And for decades, we've been working together on getting the imagery of abortion out there into the public and developing more and more ways to do that. And I'm going to tell you about a special project in a moment, and then we're going to talk about it more in our upcoming broadcasts. But, you know, one of the things that Greg and I have spoken about, and both of us have written about pretty extensively, is that there is such a thing as a history of social reform. Okay, so the pro-life movement is trying to uproot out of our culture the violence of abortion. There have been other movements that have tried to uproot various other kinds of violence against other kinds of victims. Civil rights movement, again, a key example. We're reminded of it every day, having Alveda King as part of our Priests for Life team. And you realize after a while that there was a pattern. There is a pattern. When you study how these movements saved the victims of these different kinds of violence, and you see that one of those patterns is that they visually showed the victims and showed the violence being done to the victims. In other words, it was never enough just to use words, arguments, concepts, never enough. Again, I mentioned quickly some of these examples, the fight against the slave trade, the fight against segregation, the fight against child labor. The lessons of the Holocaust, the lessons of against drunk driving, even the lessons against smoking. You see some of the anti-smoking, smoking is really out of vogue right now, but it wasn't always, and you know, it was a time where we had to have all these anti-smoking commercials. And boy, were some of them disgusting. But that's the point. If it does real damage, hey, listen, better to see the damage and get disgusted than to actually experience the damage and be hurt by it. So nobody should say it doesn't work. We know that it works. And we also know that there are times and places. I mean, the Center for Bioethical Reform, again, which I serve as a board member, is known throughout the world for showing the pictures of abortion. But the demonstrations where we would show these in public are very carefully planned. We don't target, for example, places like the schools and playgrounds where there's likely to be a lot of children. You know, you put warning signs when we have that. Another group is the Pro-Life Action League that does these organized demonstrations called Show the Truth. And they put warning signs, you know, when people are coming and saying, you know, graphic abortion images ahead, you might want to, you know, go a different route if you don't want to see them. We always respect the freedom of people. In fact, we talk in the Center for Bioethical Reform about the fact that when we're giving a presentation and we're going to show the graphic images of abortion, that we warn the people first and we say, you know, feel free to turn away or close your eyes. We don't want to unnecessarily expose you to this if you don't want to see it. But interestingly, when you start saying that and start preparing people for this, they want to see it. And you know, we don't have a lot of time. We have got to let as many people as quickly as possible see what abortion is so that we can save as many children as we can as quickly as we can before they're killed and then it's too late. So one of the things, besides having these pictures on our website, and again, look at abortion.org is the place where I want to invite you to go, but showing them in public, demonstrations where people are standing with the signs, but then with the Center for Bioethical Reform, we've developed over the years these big box body trucks with the images of abortion on the trucks and driving the trucks through busy city streets. Lots of people see the images. People get upset. Yeah, well, but you know what? It's the principle of double effect, as we say in Catholic ethical thinking, that sometimes a good act has some negative effects. We'd rather have some people upset than some children dead, because we know for sure that this saves lives. We'd rather have some children upset. We'd rather have some adults upset than some children dead. And that's the calculus, the upsetment in and of itself isn't something bad. Sometimes it's something very good. It's the first step towards repentance. It's the first step towards waking up out of a slumber of conscience where we finally face up to an evil and start fighting it. I don't think upsetment is in and of itself bad. So we found the power of these images changing minds and hearts, activating people to fight abortion more readily. And now at an election time, one of the projects that Center for Bioethical Reform does is to drive these trucks through areas where the vote can be swung by a few percentage points to win the election. And a lot of voters, my friends, are motivated by the abortion issue. And among those that are motivated on the abortion issue, the majority of them vote pro-life. And so bringing these trucks into strategically chosen areas in order to show the violence of abortion, because you know what happens, the pro-choice candidates, oh, they'll never show you what an abortion is. They'll defend it, but they won't describe it. They'll stand up for it, but they won't show it. They'll talk about abortion, meanwhile, they hide it. They'll never, no pro-choice politician is going to link to lookatabortion.org, because they know that if you see it, if the voters see it, they're going to reject it. They're going to say, how on earth can we allow this? Yeah, but they are allowing it. In fact, they want us to pay for it. The Democrat position is no restrictions on abortion and you get to pay for it. So we show the voters. Just listen, you vote for who you want. But just understand, you vote for these Democrats, this is what you're voting for. This carnage, this bloodshed, this holocaust, this decimation, decapitation, dismemberment of children, this is what you're voting for. And we have to stop letting them hide behind the language. We have to stop letting them call, this is human rights, this is freedom of choice, this is healthcare. Yeah, how about dismemberment, decapitation, bloody arms and legs and pieces of skulls? That's what it is. The images cut right through all of that. So various people want to do different things in this election. There might be some people who want to help volunteer drive these trucks. Or have a place where the trucks can be kept overnight when they're not being driven. You want to help with this? Let me know. Let us know. There's a special website, vote@priestsforlife.org. This is where we're getting our election volunteers together. ProLifeVolunteer.com is where you can sign up online. I've mentioned this to you before, many different election activities that can be done. But if you're interested in this particular project, which we'll talk about more in some of the coming episodes, go to ProLifeVolunteer.com and let us know that you're interested in at least exploring. At least we can talk and we can explore ways that you may want to assist. Well, friends, that's all the time I have for tonight, but this is really, really something I wanted to share with you. You know, for a long time, we've been seeing the effects of just showing people the truth. And let me conclude with this thought. It's biblical. Because Paul writes to the Ephesians, have nothing to do with the faithless, fruitless works of darkness, but rather expose them. Have nothing to do with them. Shine the light. Rip off the veil, expose them. Because this is what Martin Luther King Jr. said. When you expose the tension which is there already in our society, when you expose the violence and the evil, well, that's the path to solution. You bring it out into the open air where the natural sunlight of the human conscience is able to address it. That's what we're doing with abortion. He did it with segregation. We're doing it with abortion, which his niece Alvita, one of our pastoral associates, says, well, this pro-life effort is the civil rights movement of our day. Well, bless you, friends. Thank you for all your comments and all your prayers. And now may the Lord send you his Holy Spirit. May he bless and protect you and your loved ones. May he answer all your prayers, and may he make you a courageous and strong defender of the unborn. May he bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Have a good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.